the Jews. The organization of the Jewish people down to the coming of our Lord comprised ordinances and regulations established by God for the twofold purpose of securing becoming worship for himself from the world he had created, while at the same time prefiguring the coming of him who was to restore the supernatural life of men and establish the one acceptable sacrifice. Besides these ceremonial regulations, there was the social organization of the Jewish people as a people or state under judges, kings, etc. God intervened at various times by his prophets to recall the people to true worship, to outline more distinctly the figure of Jesus, and to set up or change the ruler of the state. The ordinances given to the Jews were not obligatory on other peoples for whom the old dispensation concerning sacrifices continued. The Jewish nation was not a society into which it was obligatory for all nations to enter. They were a nation set apart to maintain acceptable worship of God and to be the fount of the individuality of the Messiah to come. We must distinguish carefully between the personality of our divine Lord and his individuality. Individuality by which a man is marked off from other men, from other beings of the human species, comes from the body, from matter, which demands a certain portion of space distinct from that occupied by others. By our individuality, we are essentially dependent on a certain environment, a certain climate, a certain descent. Our Lord, true man, as well as true God, was a Jew of the house of David, born of the Virgin Mary, the Lily of Israel. Personality, on the other hand, springs from the soul and is, in the last resort, the subsistence of the soul. The personality of our Lord, true God as well as true man, is not merely that of a created soul. It is the personality of the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. In him, there is only one ego, the divine ego. Hence, the majestic proclamation, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The personality of our divine Lord was, therefore, from above. He was true God as well as true man, being the supernatural life in person. He called upon the Jews to become the heralds of that divine life to the world, and as an organized people, they refused. From the condemnation of Jesus and his definite rejection, the Jews ceased to be the chosen people. From Calvary onwards, they must be spoken of as the Jewish nation. Of course, they remain his own race, from whom his individuality sprang, and who wound his sacred heart in a special manner by their obstinate refusal to accept supernatural life. The Jews refused the role that was offered to them of being the harbingers of supernatural life and peace to the world. They refused as a nation to aid in building up the mystical body of Christ into which all nations were invited to enter. St. Paul frequently speaks of this oneness and brotherhood of all nations in the mystical body of Christ, while in no way denying the persistence of natural distinctions and the need of hierarchical order. The growth of indifference in religion and the weakness of the reasoning faculty, thanks to the diffusion of sensist and subjectivist philosophies since the time of Descartes, hinder men from seeing the full consequences of Jewish opposition to the divine plan for the social order of the world through the mystical body of Christ. As there is only one world and one divine plan for that world, the Messiah to whom the Jews look forward must be purely natural. The unity and peace of the coming messianic era must accordingly be brought about by the subjection of all nations to the Jewish nation. Thus they dream of establishing on the purely natural level the union which God is striving to bring about on the supernatural level of the mystical body, respectful of national characteristics and of the diversity of national vocations in Christ. The Jews are therefore opposed to the whole order of the world built on the divinity of Jesus, and their influence in every sphere, in Freemasonry and in communist movements, in naturalistic aims of Masonry and of revolutionary societies, while at the same time impelling them in the direction of a world state in which the Jewish race will be supreme. Accordingly, when we read in the sermon broadcast by Chief Rabbi Julian Weil, Radio Paris, March 27, 1931, quote, "The Jewish Passover is turned to the future and affirms with a definite and joyous conviction the liberation to come and the messianic Passover of the peoples of the world," end of quote.